EBC 1 is on the air. Nigel Green reading. At 1620 GMT, Don't Wear Those Shoes With That Dress, Sir, podcast. But first, live from America, Steve Tavares is angry podcast.
I am here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up eating rice.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Now, if you shoot a little flippin' bitch, you got a problem.
Mr. Coxman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I would dignify you if I pee on your leg. I know it wouldn't be worth wasting the urine, but...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Ah, we're back in the saddle again. Oh, man. It's been a while since we last talked. You know, it's called Steve Tavares is angry, but it was like getting a little too angry. So it was like, you need to rest, Steve. So I went on vacation. I went to Mexico. Went to a little place called Tulum. It's about a 2-hour drive from Cancun. And it's nice. It's on the beach. It's kind of developing up. Had a nice little cheap, real cheap. Little cabana, little room in the water on the beach with a hammock. And there was a little problem there. Two problems. I'll get to the second one later. But the big problem, you know, this is an ecological disaster going on down there. They've had an algae bloom for 6 months and it's still going on. And it's usually there's, you know, typically it's like 2 months. So it's been like 4 months extra. We get there and there's this algae just piled up like 2-3 feet up on the beach. Nobody goes in the water. It's, you know, and it's like this isn't global warming. This is man-made, you know. There's like nobody knows what's going on. But I'll tell you, this place, Tulum, it's been overrun by British people, and it's all like, it's one of those places like trying to be like Cancun, you know, and so you got like 5-6 British girls just trotting along in their hot pants. What's going on here? It's like 5 British girls to 1 dude, and they're not friendly, so I don't know what's the point, you know what I mean? So it's got no running water there. There's tanks, like super tankers come bring water. They have solar because they have there's nothing. They put the garbage in a landfill in the jungle behind it. So, you know, that's probably seeping through. Going in the ocean, those nutrients are sprouting these major algae blooms. So I was like, I didn't know this before. I'm going to add to this. I kind of felt bad with it. Well, you know, I felt bad about that. You know, I'm contributing to this. But I'll tell you something right now. If you're going to go there, Tulum, bad food. Bad food. It's like, unless you eat tacos, right? They're good, right? But the regular food, it's like every place there is like what I called mipsters, you know, Mexican hipster places. And so that'll give you an idea. It's like, has anybody heard of seasoning here? How can you ruin a lobster, right? Undercooked, no flavor to it. How do you do that? A lobster just came out of the water. Like the dude, little dude comes in a little motorcycle with his helmet on with a case of lobsters that he just got from the ocean. Puts it there, picked out guy, and we eat it. And how do you wreck that? That's very hard to wreck. Well, but the first day we're like sitting on the hammock on the beach. It's nice, you know, it's like 90 degrees, but there's a nice little warm breeze. We're sitting there. I'm reading my book. And it's like, this is one of those things, like, you always think this would be the greatest thing that ever happened to you until it happens. Fellas, ladies, turn, go, this is not for you. Well, some of you, maybe.
But I was sitting there, me and my friend, Derek, sitting there, and these like British ladies, they start taking their tops off right in front of us. I'm trying to play like I'm reading. And it was like, I told them, like, this is the key. This is the key to this. When this goes down, you have to be there first. The be there first doctrine. You're not a perv, because, hey, I was there first. And I was there first. I was reading for a while. I was reading like 20 pages in. And then he came, and he was clearly before them. So the be first doctrine was achieved. But then, you're like, this is great. First day, everybody's just going to, take the tops off. And it's like, well, this needs to be another, like, a law, like Moore's law or Steve's law. Whenever women take their tops off, it's always going to be, more times than not, the one you don't want to take your top off. That's all I'm going to say about that one. So then I'm like, what's going on here? And they're like, we're not, we asked the front desk, and it's like, oh yeah, it's very open. It's not a nudist beach, but and I'm thinking, yeah, we're in Mexico, man. We're not a Puritan America, right? He could do this stuff. And so I told my friend Derek, and I said, you know what? Two can tango. They take their tops off. I'm going to take my shorts off. So I take my shorts off there on the hammock. And then this guy comes up and he says, hey, amigo, no. No smoke sausage on the beach. Holy smokes. Anyway. All that for the last joke. Smoke sausage. So we're back in the East Bay. And boy, there's going to be some stuff going on. So this is basically your Alameda County Democratic Party endorsement meeting preview. And this is very important. So, I've been writing about this a little bit, even before I left. This is very important, right? Endorsements don't mean jack, right? But this one does. Like, this is a, low information voter says, I'm a Democrat. I don't really know too much. You see this person, local person, down ballot, endorsed by the Democratic Party. That's going to put that person high on the list. You may just say, more often than not, you're going to be like, that's the person. I don't know. I'm a Democrat. They're the Democrats like them. That's who I'm going to like. But at least they're going to look a little bit further, and they're probably still going to like you. It's very important. It's like, this is, and they all try to get this endorsement. And on Saturday, the 15th, 9 a.m., over there on Party on Hagenberger, this is all going to go down. So there's a lot of races, right, going on. You've seen the list on East Bay Citizen. You've been tracking it for like 12 months. So there's a lot of races, a lot of candidates. And so they try to whittle it down with a screening committee, 10 people, right? It kind of looked what's going on here? I mean, there's like 129 people to interview. So yes, it needs to be done in an expedient way, but I don't know. These 10 anointed feels kind of, lacking transparency. And then you had certain people badgering. Left and right, hearing people saying, oh, those interviews, they were just rude to us, like rude. And I think it was true. And, one of the people on there, Alameda Council member Jim Odie, I know what he was doing. They're like, you're the guy that's going to badger them with questions like, what is your city budget? What is your unfunded liabilities? What is, these figures? And they're like, I don't know. Ah, you're stupid. And if they go, yes, they get the number right. And they go, yes, but what's the sense? 45. Wrong. 79 cents. You're dumb. You don't know anything. You're gone. Right? So there's stuff like that. And there was other things I was hearing. And regardless, people were put on consent, which means you're almost there. You got you're 95% of the way. You're going to be endorsed by the Alameda County Democratic Party, right? But then there's these rules where members can get five people, and one from that area in that race, they can take it off consent. And therefore, you're back, and you're going to have a little mini forum before these members on this Saturday. in Oakland. And so I'm going to be there. It's going to be interesting. And I'm going to preview real quick some of the races that I'll probably be writing about, and it's what I'll be really paying attention to. And this is going to be in alphabetical order, but I'm going to break down what this looks like. It means to me. And, you know, if we start in Alameda, they have a mayor's race. Mayor Trish Spencer is up for reelection. She was never going to get this. They don't even think she's really a Democrat, but she's registered. But council member Marilyn Easy Ashcraft, she would seem in most years, in fact, actually every year in the history of Alameda, this would be who they'd be on consent, no doubt, Ashcraft endorsed for mayor. But I'll tell you what, she messed with the Alameda firefighters here, which was the supermen's of all unions. They fight way above their belt. Way. They are like pound for pound, the strongest, toughest union in the East Bay. Pound for pound, right? That's not even going to be talked about. They put such a whammy on her. They're not endorsing her in the city, the firefighters. And they were like, it looks to me like they're like, we're not, and neither are you guys. And they were like, yes, loud and clear, firefighters. So that's not even on play anymore. Let's go to Berkeley. District 1, it's wide open. It's a seat left open. What's interesting here, real quick, is that this committee's darling. He's been around for, he knows everybody. Igor Chagub. I find it interesting that he's not in consent. That seemed like something. His two other challengers will be there on Saturday. But, you know, I don't know. Something to look at. And actually, we have Igor on satellite. Igor, what's going on?
Hello, Steve. This is Igor Chagub. And I would like to thank you for letting me on this podcast. As you know, I am running for the Berkeley City Council.
Okay, Igor. Can't be giving away free advertising here. Now, same thing in Hayward. Barbara Halliday, she screwed with the unions, but I guess it's okay now, right? They've endorsed her. She's on consent. And really what it means is that they don't like her. They just really, really dislike council member Mark Salinas, who's running. Like, nobody likes this guy. This guy goes to a candidate forum for the Hayward Democratic Party Club. For the Hayward Democratic Club, and they all know him. He sits in this crowded room. It's like we're baking in there. Everybody's sweating, and nobody talks to this guy. Him and his wife just stand there in the back. Nobody mingles. Nobody talks. Like, what is going on here? San Leandro, watch for that. They wanted Pauline Cutter, the incumbent, but she's been pulled off consent. And I saw some stuff the other day at candidate forums for San Leandro that made me think this rent control issue could be something to look at in San Leandro. Because very clearly, ahead of this endorsement meeting, Pauline Cutter said, I'm not for rent control. I'm not. And actually, all of the incumbents said they're not for that. They basically said, we just need to build, streamline the permitting, right? This committee might not like that. In Oakland, none of the races except for auditor did this committee make a decision on. So it's going to be a free-for-all. Desley Brooks, that whole group, is going to be there in District 6. The big one is Abel Guillen, District 2. Can Nikki Fortunato Bass steal that with the union's help? That would be a major story. I'll tell you something right now. If they endorse Bass, that's your headline. That's your headline Saturday. The mayor, only person that's going to be there on Saturday is the mayor, Libby Schaff, and Pamela Price. And in fact, if you listen to the end of this podcast, Pamela Price will be here. We're going to chat about this. She's got some interesting takes on the lack of transparency at this committee. Now, I just want to finish off with AC Transit. I've been waiting for this moment. Angrians. And that's people who listen to this podcast are Angrians. Joel Young, at large AC Transit member, is up for re-election. They didn't even endorse, no endorsement. They didn't even like, it's nothing. Even some people don't act right. Groups of people, they don't act right. We have limits, right? So even this group of people is not going to support somebody who clocks a girlfriend, almost breaks her orbital bone, and got away with it. Got away with it. That's what Joel Young did. And if you've been around East Bay Citizen for a while, you know that I was the one all over that. And that dude is so awful of a person. Joel Young is a piece of shit. Oh my God, is he? He comes out to me, tries to get me fired from the Express, makes this dossier that I'm racist. This guy is a bad dude. Beat up his girlfriend. And then voters, well, you guys are sick. 10,000 people after that voted for his reelection. 10,000. Who's going to be the 10,000 this year that's going to do it? Do you know Joe Young beat up his girlfriend, clocked her in the head? And you know what they were doing? He was defending himself because he was banging some other chick early in the morning in his room, in his apartment. The girlfriend had the key. She comes in and finds them there. Chaos ensues. They go into the room. I guess he didn't like being caught, and he clocks her. Clocks her. She goes to UCSF. The nurse there documented. This documenter wrote it. Thought her orbital bone around her eye was broken. It wasn't, but she had a bruise, big bruise on her face. And this asshole went around. He had the gall to go around, pull up his shirt, and on his torso show this little tiny super superficial scratch that I guess she was holding the key and she swung at him and scratched him. That's equal, a little superficial scratch, than being clocked and bruised in the face. It was the single worst thing I've ever had to do, not just in this line of work, but in my whole life, to sit for 2 hours at Farley's East in Oakland with the ex-girlfriend and listen to this story and listen about how she was not sure that she wanted this story to come out because she feared if this story stopped Joel Young from being reelected, that he would do something to her again. This is an awful person. And so as I speak myself into the lather, I should also remember that because he is such a super vote for the unions on AC Transit that they look away. They look away still, and he's still there. And they tell me, oh, he's doing such a great, just great work. Did he ever apologize for clocking her in the eye, cold cocking her in the face, beating 100-pound woman? We'll be back with Pamela Price. This is Steve Tavares is Angry. Follow Central Committee, because for me, what I'm doing, covering the whole East Bay, that's like the superhero friends. That's the Hall of, well, it's not the Hall of Justice.
Oh, no, not at all.
But it's everybody's there, so I always can get, that's where I get the scoops. That's where I get the gossip. That's where, or see what's going on. So I always paying attention there. And I've been noticing for the last couple of months, you've been putting the feet to the fire about transparency generally. What is this all about? People will say, maybe tell me if this is true. They will say, "Oh, she's angry." Pamela Price is angry because, you know, they endorsed Nancy Mally and then Nancy Mally law. I mean, you're human. That doesn't matter. Yeah. But still, the facts are, there are some
not weirdo. There's some things that doesn't seem right going on there in terms. Where is this is this coming from?
I think that's, you said it right. There's some things that don't seem right, and often I describe political people as being in the bubble. And the Central Committee is certainly in the bubble, and they don't have overall a clue as to how stuff looks to the outside world. For instance, taking $30,000 from O'Malley, not disclosing it to the committee, whether you did it before you endorsed her or after you endorsed her, Joe Blow Public thinks that's wrong. There's something wrong with that. And they don't get that. Or if they do get it, they choose to act as if they don't get it. So having said that, go back to my commitment to the Central Committee goes back to when I ran. Understanding, looking at the committee and realizing, number one, Oakland doesn't have very good representation on this committee.
Right. I've always noticed that.
It's pretty obvious. Like you look at it. Well,
people from even like electeds, they don't, except for Rebecca, they don't show up for that stuff. They never really, there's not even a presence hardly, except for Rebecca, who is always there.
People only, and that for me also is of concern, and I've expressed it to my vice chair. People who come to the Central Committee from Oakland, they come like during this election season.
Yeah.
They come because they're told, oh, this is where you have to come.
Kiss the ring.
Yeah. But they don't know when they walk in the room where that ring has been or whose finger that ring is on. I think that's a real problem. I'm very concerned about that because I don't feel like people are going to get a fair shake when they come in there. And if in this season, this election, I've been more than a little perturbed about the way the lack of transparency, the favoritism, because you have so many more candidates coming. And they're coming from the 18th Assembly District. I represent the 18th Assembly District. I don't want my people who are coming from my district coming in there, they don't know who's in the 20th. They don't know the 25th. Yeah. They have no idea who's in the room. They don't know the relationships between these people.
They don't know who's married to each other.
They don't know who has contract with each other. They don't know anything. And they're thinking, oh, this is the fair, you know, unbiased Democratic Party. And it's not. And so, you know, that's why I have joined in pulling as many candidates off of consent as possible, because it's that process to me is infected with so much bias.
Yeah, I saw there's, and I'm always for that.
Yeah, there's too much bias. There's too much low dirty deals being done in the dark, lack of transparency. And when you try to get transparency, I mean, it's like, what? You all are acting like you stole something. I mean, why are you acting like this?
Yeah, so when you, I think it was last month, when you brought it up, and I had Royce, Kelly, and Robin, you know, before June primary, you know, I'm looking and I see like, oh, the childhood, the measure, whatever, A1, it's like, this seems odd. They're giving $30,000 to the Central Committee in May. And shouldn't they be keeping that? Well, they have a lot of money. Shouldn't they be using that money to win? Which they did not win. They just lost.
Yeah.
So this looks odd. Like you say, to the outside, like, so why don't they keep that money to win the election? Why are they putting $30,000 to the Central Committee? And what are they doing? Well, Robin tells her, we have a plan. And then I talked to her, you know, not on the record, just whatever it's about. But she was not, they're not answering anything. And then Royce was like the answer he gave, which you was, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, exactly. If you want to know
like they're
what
hiding
we
something.
Do, go to the state website. It's like, no, you're the treasurer. Yeah. Why should 45 people who sit on this committee have to go to the state website to find out where you got this money from?
And it was only a couple pieces of data.
Right.
Right. Not even this much of a page.
No.
Yeah, so that's what they were telling me too.
Yeah. And you have to know, see, my first introduction to this kind of closed game stuff, lack of transparency, was when I decided to run. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do mail. I'll just get on, you know, one of these voter guides. And I called them, you know, to get a quote. And they said, are you on the Central Committee slate? And I said, no. And one guy said, do you know Robin Torello? I said, yes. He said, well, you have to call Robin Torello. If Robin Torello says you can be on my guide, then I'll put you on my guide. So I, like the naive little person, not entirely
just
naive.
Early on in
but
the DA?
No, this is in 2016 when
2016.
I ran for Central Committee.
Okay.
To get on the voter guide, I had to be on the Democratic, the Central Committee slate.
Yeah, it would be very important. Cause
I called Robin. I said, you have a problem with me being on the voter guide? She said, oh, yeah, no, you can't be on the voter guide. You're not on our slate. I said, okay. So that guy wouldn't put me on the voter guide. Then I called another one. They wouldn't put me on the voter guide. Ultimately, I got a price on the voter guide. Basically, they wanted to charge me like I was a single male, like I was doing the mailer by myself. And it just, you know, we followed this string, but it was so obvious that they were basically collaborating with the Democratic Party to prevent anybody who wasn't authorized by Robin Torello to be on at least for the Central Committee. You couldn't get on the voter guide.
Yeah.
So it's
more powerful than it seems at first glance.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed. I also never liked all these. I'll be honest with you. I don't. If somebody's not forthright, I just think they're shady. And it's borne out over the many years I've done this. Now 9 years. Not a rookie anymore. I've got a lot of gray. So I'm not a rookie. So I know that you know.
There's something, not right. I mean, the thing is, so I was saying, there's not adequate representation from Oakland. The committee doesn't really do very much in Oakland, which is the heart of Alameda County, and there's more people concentrated here. Where they're comfortable is, you know, going to the smaller assembly districts and advocating there, spending money and time and resources there.
Yeah, you're right. It does seem like, 20th District, you know, Fremont.
Right. Exactly.
Not Avery, but, you know, the San Leandro, those kind of.
San Leandro, Fremont.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to formulate, because I have a fear, long-term fear. Nobody believes me. Because it's too far ahead and they can't see it. But I was like, there's going to be a day when this whole area, except for maybe not right here, but everything else could be purple red. And it started in Fremont, and it's already in Dublin, Pleasanton. And where's Robin? Catherine Baker is in the assembly. The only one is because of Robin. Eric Swalwell is represented because of Robin, because she was getting in the way of progressives, like Ro Khanna or Ellen Corbett. And we get, before that, Ellen Tauscher, Robin admitted Ellen Tauscher was her fault. They needed somebody with a lot of money, and they found her. Like, well, she's basically Republican.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so there's a lot. That's a side thing. But
that's very real. And that's what the DA race exposed. It's like, really, we are the most progressive.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I hear people say that, I almost want to gag and laugh. It's like, no, the vote. The jury is no longer out on that. We are not the most progressive county in the country. We're just not. And don't perpetuate that illusion. And the day that, I think because Barbara Lee comes from the north part, we'll be okay. But you're right. In the Southland, we're like,
they're coming.